Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for this privilege you've given me to preach from this pulpit for the next few Wednesday nights. Appreciate it very, very much. I do want to encourage you. We are going to be doing a treasure series, but please, please come Sunday nights to listen to your pastor. He's going to be bringing some financial messages that are so important. As I remember, I'm not putting words in his mouth. He was going to deal with getting out of debt, I think he said. Listen. You need to be here and listen to that. It'll help you. Thank God, years and years back, we learned the principles of living debt-free, and it just made a whole difference in our life. Completely, fully, a whole difference in our life. And it will yours too. So I want to encourage you, please, please, please come on Sunday nights and listen to those messages. They will help you no matter where you are in your financial condition. It'll help you. All right, tonight, please turn with us to the book of Luke, the 12th chapter. Luke, the 12th chapter. Tonight we'll begin the series of messages with treasures. What are they? Treasures, whatever are they? Did you ever think about when Jesus said laying treasures up in heaven, what he meant? Did you ever think about that? I mean, we know what treasures on earth are. But what are treasures in heaven? How do you lay treasures up in heaven? What are they? We're going to try to answer that tonight. Luke, the 12th chapter, please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I'm going to begin at verse number 13. It says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who make me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. Let us pray. Father, I thank you so much tonight for this privilege to preach. I realize and understand I need your power. I need you. And I ask you, please, to show forth your grace and mercy to this preacher. And Lord, bestow upon him the power he needs to preach the word that you have given him. And Father, when all is said and done, we will recognize and understand it's you that receives the honor and the glory for all things. Help us to learn tonight some things that'll make us better, Lord, than we've ever been for you. We'll thank you in Jesus' wonderful, precious, lovely name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to understand as we bring these messages, these are not in any way meant to scold anyone. That's not the purpose of it. The purpose of it is to give you some information that will help you down the road in your financial life and also the laying up treasures in heaven. You know, life is short. Finding that out more every day. Amen. We get down the road, you realize, you look back, and Don and I could not have been married 50 years. That's an impossibility. We're not that old. But you look at it, and yes, we have. And so it goes quickly. But what happens then at the end of life? Eternity. Eternity, forever. And so eternity is much more important than this life. Amen? And what happens in this life, though, is going to help determine what happens in eternity. So in this, I hope we'll understand when he talked about laying up treasures in heaven, what he was talking about. I know what treasures to some degree is, and I'm sure all of us have considered different things as treasures. But I know a little bit about earthly treasures. I know what God is talking about when he says that. But when he says lay treasures up in heaven, I want to know what's he talking about. Did you ever think about that? What is Jesus talking about when he says that? What's he referring to? He doesn't want any of our gold. He doesn't want our silver. He don't want our automobiles. Amen. He don't want our houses and our lands. He don't want any of those things sent up to heaven. So what is he talking about when he talks about laying up treasures in heaven? I want to start off in verse number 15 by looking at that just a moment, because Jesus answered this man who said he wanted to have the inheritance divided. His brother would not divide the inheritance. And Jesus said, you know, that's not the reason I came. I didn't come for that reason. But he says in verse number 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Let's face it, there is a lot of people in America tonight that do believe that his whole life is around the things that he possess. They really do. And I'm sorry to say, but I believe that's true also many times with we Christians. That's how we gauge success. You know, if he's rich, then he's successful. Well, that's not true. Let me tell you, years ago, what I measure success with, if you're within the will of God, the perfect will of God, that is success. No matter where you are financially. But we find out, he said, and he called it, he said, beware of covetousness. He said, you know what? That's a sin that you have to beware of. You have to be careful of. In fact, it's the last of the Ten Commandments. We're to not covet. And he was saying here, this man was coveting the riches. Here his brother would not divide with him, and he was a covetous man because he was wanting that. He said, you got to beware of that. You've got to be careful. I'm going to show you real quickly. We won't take much time, but over in Romans, you can turn there if you wish, but chapter 7, verse 7, I'm just going to read one verse. I want you to listen to what Paul said. Paul said, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Well, God forbid. Now, we know the law is not sin. The law is perfect. It's a perfect law of God. He said, the law is not sin. He said, nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. Now, you know, the Apostle Paul said, it's by the law, and the law is our schoolmaster. It brings us to the realization that we are sinners. And that's what Paul was saying, and he mentions the fact, though, about covetousness. He said, and Paul was saying, and you know, I believe Paul, being a Pharisee, he was part of the Sanhedrin as far as we know. He was a very religious person trying to follow the law to the T. I believe he was trying to do the very best he knew at that time to do. I believe he really was doing that. But he said, when I read about this covetousness, not to covet, he said, you know, I realized that was within me. If everyone will just look to themselves, now we want to say we don't covet, but we do. We covet. And Paul himself, who was, a very fine man, trying to do the very best he could under the law, he said, you know, I looked at that thing, I realized I coveted it. I'm saying to you and I, we've got to be very careful, because there is times when we covet. Eve coveted in the Garden of Eden. She looked at the fruit. She said it was good for food. And she said it also is good to make one wise. And Satan had already told her she would become as gods if she ate of that fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. She was coveting this fact of being a god. You got to be very careful of that. Lot's wife, Pastor mentioned this the other night in his sermon about Lot's wife. Let me tell you something. Lot's wife wanted Sodom. Looking back, Sodom and Gomorrah, looking back, coveting to be back there and have those things that she had. We've got to be careful. There's a lot of things that God withholds from us that he does not want us to have, and we covet them. That's what coveting is. Harry Ironside said this. He said, it is a desire to grasp things that God has withheld from us, though he may have given them to others. Do you know, and I'm not going to preach on this, but seriously, did you know that's one of the great dangers of a credit card? You can buy whatever you want, whether God wants you to have it or not. You can buy it. Slap the card down. Let them run it through that slot. And you can purchase it. You never ask God whether he wanted you to have it. He has no control over it because you've got a credit card. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, I use mine right. And you may. You may use it right. But you got to be careful because there's a great temptation in using a credit card when you don't have money to buy something with. Okay? That's just extra. But I'm saying to you, we covet. And it's very easy for us to just simply use that credit card to buy things that God never intended for us to have. God withholds things from us and doesn't give us certain things that he might give someone else. But as Mr. Ironside said, he said that's what covetousness is wanting to grasp things that God has withheld from us. Amen? We've got to be very careful about that. Now, we're going back here now to Luke, the 12th chapter. And just look down through there a little bit. He talked about covetousness in verse 15. He spake a parable then unto them. You see, immediately after he talked about covetousness, he gave an example of it. And he says, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? I want you to notice as you go down through here, all the I's and the my's. This man thought all of those things was his. And that brought him to some terrible decisions because he left God out of his life. And he says, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruit. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? And then he says, so is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. The thing that I would want to ask you and me tonight, are we rich toward God? Now we may be rich worldly wise. He was. But are we rich toward God? So we want to examine tonight, what are treasures? All this stuff that we have, that we've acquired, are not treasures. Okay? Do you understand that? Now we'll talk about that, but you're going to say to me, you just don't want me to have anything. I'm telling you, don't mark those down as treasures laid up in heaven, because they're not. Okay? You can go home, I can go home and find all of the stuff that we have, and I call it stuff or things, and look at all of them. We'll deal with the fact that, yes, it's all right if we have some things, but I'm saying to you that they are not treasures. They're not treasures laid up in heaven. It does not become a treasure until we let it be used for God's glory and for God's plan for our life. I'll explain all of that in a moment. But it doesn't become treasures till we do something with it and change it into heavenly currency. Okay? If I died tonight and I had $100 in my pocket, that's not treasure. God's not going to say, looky there, Brother Ross had $100 in his pocket. We'll just mark that up as a treasure in heaven. That's not a treasure. It's not a treasure laid up in heaven. That's an earthly treasure. Okay? You see, it has to be converted. That which we have must be converted into things that can be laid up in heaven. Now, I want you to listen to this. I want you to listen because you are going to decide how you live. Your pastor, I stand up here and preach. I can't make you do anything. I can't make you spin right, think right. All I can do is preach and say, I believe this is what the Word of God says that you ought to do. You will decide whether you're going to turn things and stuff into treasures or not. Okay? You know, in these treasure series, some of the messages I ask, one of them is, why does God give us so many? You say, well, I don't have a whole lot. Probably got more than you think you have, but why does God give us so many treasures? Is that so that we can live a greater lifestyle? It's interesting. We'll find that out later on here in the month. But anyway, I want to take you to some scripture. That's Luke, the 18th chapter. And I want to show you a little story. It's a familiar story that will explain what Jesus said about earthly things and how they can be turned into treasures. Chapter 18, verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. He was trying to get him to recognize that he was God. He was a way of salvation. And he said, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come and follow me. When he heard this, he was very sorrowful. Why? For he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Now, you and I both know that you don't get salvation through selling something and giving it to the poor. That's not salvation. You get salvation free from God. But it does do something to you, and we'll prove it scripturally. When you get saved, it changes your heart's desire. Zacchaeus, when he came down out of that tree and stood before the Lord, he said to him, to the Lord, he said, I'm going to give I'll sell half of my goods and give it to the poor. That was because he was saved, not to be saved. You understand what I'm saying? And he said, not only that, he said, if I have defrauded anyone, he said, I'll give them fourfold back. Now, that was a result from him coming out of that tree, getting saved, and something happened to his heart. So he looked at money and things like that differently. And I believe once we get saved, we ought to look at these things different than we used to look. But you notice what Jesus said here. He said, "You take what you have, sell it, and give it to the poor." And then what did he say? "Ye shall have treasures in heaven." Now, if we want to have treasures laid up in heaven, we're going to have to do some converting of our things and our stuff and our material, our financial well-being. We're going to have to do something with that. We're going to have to let it be used for the glory of God. Now, listen to me. I'll talk to you in a minute, but God is not saying that you cannot have anything. He's not saying that. We'll prove that scripturally. But it's all in the priority and the balance of life. I love the word balance in the Christian life. I believe it's an important word because we've got to keep a balance in our life. God knows that we have need of certain things. He said the Father knows you have need of these things. He knows you have need of the physical things of life. He knows that. But what do we do? Do we way overdo it? Do we have much more than God ever wanted us to have? And what are we doing with it? If we want to lay some treasures up in heaven, we're going to have to do some converting. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, that's what he told this rich man. If you want to have treasures in heaven, of course he would have the treasure of eternal life. But if you want treasure in heaven, you're going to have to sell what you have, give to the poor, and come follow me. You know why? He knew where his heart was. His heart was toward his treasures. And let me share. The Bible says wherever your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Wherever it's at, that's where your heart is going to be. So you see, this man had not converted those riches into heavenly treasures. So he walked away very sad, you see. See, turn the things and the stuff into treasures. If you keep them as just treasures, they're not going to be heavenly treasures. They're not going to be. Say what you want. God taught Don and I years ago. I'm no example. I don't consider myself a great example, but he taught us years ago that what you do with the things that you have, you make it available unto the Lord. I don't care what you have. You make that available unto the Lord and you listen to him. We'll deal with this more, but you listen to him and you hear him direct your giving. I don't know over the last many, many years how many times, and I love living this way, that the Holy Spirit speaks to me and says, do this, do that, give this, give here. And you say, well, Brother Ross, maybe it was because you had money. There was times when I gave a gallon of milk in the name of the Lord. There was times when I gave a loaf of bread in the name of the Lord. You do not have to have money to give. In fact, that's a misnomer that people want to teach and preach. That goes against the whole principles of the Word of God. You may not give as much as a rich man will give, but anybody can give. And it's not going to be converted into heavenly currency until we do give it for the use, for God's use. Okay? Are you kind of getting the principle? Somewhere along the line, those things of ours is going to have to be converted, you see. The Jews used to say, when a child is born, he's born with his fists clenched, and he dies with his hand open. What he meant by that was that a child, when he comes into this world, is always grasping, always wanting. Little Ariana, the other day, Cheryl had her, and she seen I was just anxious to hold her, and so she handed her to me, and as soon as she got near me, she grabbed my glasses. She just grabbed my glasses. You know how they do. Did you ever try to take a Bible or a bottle away from a baby? You got a fight on your hands. Amen. They grasp. They want. They want to keep that. And they do that most of their life. But he says when they die, when we get older and die, guarantee you're not going to take anything with you. Not a thing. So what have we done with the things that we possess, that we have? What have we done? What have we done with them? So that's what he's talking about in this parable. And let me stop here and say something, because he's not saying in this parable that it was wrong for this man to prepare for the future. He was not saying it's not proper to lay aside some for the future and get ready for the future when you're older age. He's not saying that. He's not teaching that. This man left God completely out of his life. And as I said earlier, everything was my I. We will deal with that in a message. Whose are they? But let me say to you, listen to me very carefully. They are not yours and they're not mine. No way. They don't belong to us. We manage them. Stewardship. But they are not ours. Amen. This man had a different idea. They was his. They're my goods. They're my fruits. Everything was his. And so I look at that, and he's not saying to the lady, don't can next summer. Don't do that because you're laying up goods. He doesn't say that. He encourages us to be like the ant. He encourages us to do right. It's right for us to lay aside and to prepare for the future. But always make it available unto the Lord if he decides he wants something else done with it. Everything is his. Amen? You see, this man only thought of himself. It belonged to him. And what he should have done is taking those things and stuff he had and turned them into treasures in heaven. Life is over. Done. What does he have? He didn't even have a soul that was saved. Okay, so we've got the idea. We Christians, we American Christians, live for the material world. Now listen to me, we do. We've got way too much, and we consider it ours. It's our stuff, our things. It's what I want to do with them. And boy, we're making a big mistake, because when we reach the glories of heaven, I'm going to tell you, he's not interested. That mansion he's making up there doesn't have room for your stuff or mine. There would be no. He don't want you or I to bring it along with us, does he? Not interested in it. So it's not those things that's going to be in heaven, but he would like for us to turn some of it in to heavenly treasures. Amen. See, in verse 17 of our of this parable he gave, verse 17 back in 12th chapter of Luke, he said, "And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits?" This man said, I don't have any room where to bestow my fruits. So he's going to tear down his little barns and build bigger barns, and he was going to have room for all of those things. You see, the problem was he did have room for those fruits. There was the needy. There was the orphans. He did have room. There was the widows. He did have room where to put them. There was God's work, we would say today, the work of God that gets out the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's missions. No, there's plenty of room, plenty of barns to put them in. He was going to build greater barns, bigger barns. Why? He said he had no room to put his stuff. Yes, he did. It's where he decided to put it. You understand what I'm saying? See, we have got to realize the things that God gives us, he wants it to be available to him at his beckoning, to do with it according to the perfect will of God. That may be a gallon of milk, it may be a $50 bill, it may be all kinds of things. Whatever it is, he wants us to be listening. And then they become heavenly treasures. Give to the poor, he said to the rich man. Give to the poor, sell all and give to the poor. And he said, you'll have treasure in heaven. Amen? Some Christians today are so stingy, they squeak when they walk. They just squeak. I mean, they're scared to death that they're going to give away something. I tell you, I've had stuff all my life, and it ain't worth a dime. I keep a thing of bolts and nuts and stuff. I said, boy, I may need them. I told Donna, I said, I'm running out of years. What am I going to do with them? What am I going to do with all this stuff that I think is so valuable? Now, I don't have a lot of stuff. I'm just saying, you know, I got this and that. And I keep saying, well, I'll save that, you know. Now, the other day, I was making something for Donna, and I needed a dowel rod. It's just a 3/4-inch dowel rod, exactly what I needed. I went out there in my barn, and sure enough, there it was. Bob Wright, who lived there before me, left it for me. Amen. And I used it. So I think it's good to use things that you have, but you know, a lot of stuff is just junk. You know what's going to happen to it when Don and I die? Kids are going to come over there and throw it out. They're going to junk it. It ain't no good. See, it's just stuff that I thought was good, see? And we need to convert things and stuff into heavenly treasures. Amen? So he said, so as I said, he had plenty of places to put this stuff. Plenty. All he had to do is do it, but he did not do it. You see, we need to see the needs around us. Now listen to me. I know what kind of world we live in. This preacher's fought this for years and years and years. I know we live in a hand-me-out generation. But I still say to you, there's times when God speaks to his people and says, you give this. You give that. God does that, and if you'll listen to the Lord, he'll do it to you. I don't understand people who never give. I'm not just talking about tithes and offering. That is important, but I'm not talking about that. That God never evidently ever speaks to them and says, please do this, please do that. I don't even understand that kind of living. I really don't, because God speaks to me, and he will speak to you also. You say, Brother Ross, I don't have much. It don't matter. He won't require anything of you that you don't have. Amen? It may be small in your eye and my eye, but it's right in God's eye. Learn to give. Learn to just have the spirit of giving. Amen? And when God opens the door, my goodness, just go through it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. Folks, don't you understand? You ought to have a relationship with him where he says, I'll guide thee with mine eye. All he needs to do is just kind of move his eye, and you ought to be, we ought to be saying, okay, I'll do that because God said to. You understand what I'm saying? Boy, live that away. Live that way. Now, don't be foolish. Don't just go walking around giving everything away because you think that's all right with God. Listen for the direction of the Lord. Let him speak to your heart. If you listen, he will speak. Now, a good way to start that is this. Get down on your knees and give everything back to God that you thought was yours. Whatever money's in there is not mine. He's given it to me to use and to manage, but I want to tell you right now, if he wants it, he can have it. It's his. Do you understand? Are you willing to get on your knees before the Lord and say, Lord, whatever I have, I am willing. It's yours. Do with it as you see fit. You tell me, and I know that that's what you want me to do. I will do it. Boy, it's a wonderful way to live. And it converts these old stuff and things into heavenly treasures. Laid up in heaven. Amen. In verse 19, he said, And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thou shalt, thy soul shall be required of thee. And then he asks, he says, then who shall those things be which thou hast promised, or provided, excuse me. Now I want to ask you, if you come to the end of your life today, whose are those things that you have? You say, Brother Ross, I want you to understand something. I'm not against helping our children, giving to our children, but if you think for 1 minute that's heavenly treasures, you got another think coming. You say, well, I'm going to leave it to my children. Well, they're not going to be treasures. They're not going to be treasures. I'll talk about this in a minute, but listen, folks, that's not treasures. They've not been converted. You know what your children probably do with it? Spend it. Will they give it to the Lord's work? I think if they give it some way to the Lord's work, I think it becomes treasures. It's done for God's glory. But most kids, most people who get an inheritance, blow it within the first year or two. It's gone. And you have left maybe a lot of money, a lot of lands, a lot of houses. You have left that as stuff and things. And it's not never been converted. Do you understand? I'll talk in just a moment. I'm not trying to get you not to love your children, not to take care of your children. I'm not trying to do all of that. I'm simply saying be careful, and you better use a lot of balance and a lot of wisdom with it. Amen. Look over in Revelation, the third chapter. Seventeenth verse. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. That's in the third chapter, Revelation, 17th verse. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, the estimation of the church here in Laodicea and the estimation of the Lord was definitely opposed to each other. They said, we got everything we need. We're rich. We've got it. Jesus says, you're poor. I don't care how much money you got. I don't care how much goods you have. You are poor. You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's what God is saying to the Christian, most of us Christians today. You think you've increased in goods and riches and all of these things, but you know what you really are? You're not rich. You're poor. You know why? Because we're not rich toward God. We haven't laid these things up as riches or treasures in heaven. It's very, very important that you live that way. Live in such a way. I'm not trying to get you just go out here and spread everything. I'm trying to get you to listen to God and give when He says to do it. And sometimes it's to people that you'll never even imagine. Sometimes it's a people maybe you don't know very well. Sometimes it's people you may know well. It's just whatever God says. Whatever the need is, God says, I want this done, do it, and we do it because God wants it done. Okay? There's a home we stayed in, Don and I stayed in here a while back when we was out preaching. We stayed in this home, and the bottom part of this home was a full basement. They had a beautiful house. They had the top, and they gave us the full basement, but it just looked like a wonderful place for us to stay. Had everything down there you could imaginably want. And all over that house was antiques. I'm not talking about three or four sitting here as a something nice. I mean, they had like clocks. These big grandfather clocks, these clocks that sit on shelves. I'm not talking about having three or four of them. I'm talking about, I bet you they had 30 or 40 of them. It was not just antique shelves. It was all our clocks. It was all kinds of other things. He told me he had a collection of 200 guns. Now listen to me. Those people were as kind to us that we could have ever asked. They treated us with kindness and grace and provided for us while we were there. I'm in no way running them down. I'm simply saying to you, when they die, they're going to leave a bunch of stuff that don't mean nothing. And how can you enjoy 30 clocks? It'd drive you nuts. Most of them wasn't even running. They're just sitting there. And I'm telling you, she had a dog collection. Honey, I can't remember all the things she had. It was all over the bottom of that place. And like I said, he had 200 guns. They worked at this together, and they had all of these things. I said, what are you going to do with them one of these days? And he said, we'll probably just give them to our kids. No treasures. Now, as I said, they were good people. They were giving people. I think they gave to their church. I think they done the best they could that away. I'm just simply saying to you folks, they had stuff, and I mean stuff, that was worthless in God's eyes. It won't mean a thing. Now, we better look around our houses and our homes and our thing and see what kind of stuff we have. Now, you say, Brother Ross, do you think it's all right for me to have some things? Yes, I do, and I'm going to scripturally show you that in a few moments. But I believe that most Christians have a spirit of covetousness. I think most Christians have a spirit of covetousness. We just can't get enough stuff. See, it's things that we give to others in His name that become treasures. When we meet the needs that are there, the deeds that we do, like Dorcas did, making the coats, they become treasures. They were for other people that had needs, and she gave and made them and cared for people who had needs. I want to show you an interesting over in Matthew, the 10th chapter of Matthew. Just show you an interesting verse of scripture. Verse number 42. The last verse of chapter 10. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. Jesus said, if it's done in His name, even if it's done in the name of a disciple, a cup of cold water, said there's rewards. Amen. But it had to be done in the name of a disciple or in the name of the Lord, for the purpose of the Lord, for the work of God. Then it became a reward. Okay? Now, again, I'm saying to you, we give our children, we give our grandchildren's things. I just want to ask you, maybe you can help me in the preaching here. Don and I have 4 children. We have 12 grandchildren. We have 1 great grandchild, and we love them, and we like to do things for them. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think when we give Ariana, and Donna does this from time, picks up a thing of diapers or something like that and gives them to, do you think God says, cha-ching, there's a reward in heaven? Do you think so? I don't think so. I think it's the normal thing of life. It's right for us to care for our family, to love our family, to give to our family, to do things for our family. I think that's just as right as can be. But we better always keep it in balance. I do not think that when I would give our children a Christmas gift, God says, there's something else I can write down up here as a treasure in heaven. I don't read the scriptures that way. It's things that is done for the needy. It's things done for the poor. It's things for those who has great needs that become treasures in heaven. Now, do you think Brother Ross, do you think you ought to care for your family? I certainly do. Do you think we ought to do things for them? I certainly do. I enjoy it, but I don't think that's what God's talking about when he talks about treasures in heaven. We've got to be very careful. I believe this. I believe we've got to be very careful even in our inheritance. And some of you that's looking for inheritance is going to hate me tonight. You're going to say, man, when they go, I think they ought to give it to us. Well, I think when they go, I think they ought to already designate where a lot of it goes. You want to help your children out? I think that's fine. But you're making a mistake, because I want to tell you something. That's not treasures laid up. In heaven. You say to me, Brother Ross, I just can't give. I mentioned this a while ago. Don't be foolish. God would not command us to do something in his word that we are not able to do. As I told you earlier, there's been times in my life I gave a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread. That's what I could do. And I believe when God told me to give a gallon of milk or a loaf of bread, that's what I should do, no matter how much money I had or how much money I didn't have. Don't say I'm poor and I can't. No. You all, everybody, can give accordingly as God has given you. And it may be, in all seriousness, a lot of times we don't have because we have withheld. We have not been givers. So God withholds. Everybody can give. It's commanded we give our tithes and our offerings. But I believe there's things that we ought to do as God tells us to do them, as God gives us direction to do them. I believe we ought to do it. I don't know about you. I even hate to say this, but I don't know the amounts of times I've pulled money out of my pocket and give it because God said, give this to somebody. Do this. It's not no bragging on me. It's what God has directed. It comes from God, not from me. Because everything belongs to him. It's not mine. You understand? It's not mine. No. It comes from him. He's the one that gives it, you see. So at the end of the life, what is it going to be at the end of life? You say, well, Brother Ross, I'm not going to live that way. That's fine. But one of these days you are going to come face to face with the Master. And so will I. So what kind of treasures do we have laid up in heaven? What do we have laid up? If I was a young person, I want to tell you right now, I'd begin real quick. I would waste no time. If you're middle-aged, I'd waste no time because you don't have that much time left to lay up. You better get started now. Amen? Sure. Now, I'm not going to turn there for sake of time, but over in Hebrews, it says that we are strangers and pilgrims. We're just passing through. That's all we are. Folks, this is not our home. Up there is our home. It's eternal. See, we're just passing through here. You understand? I'm going to give an illustration. Let us say that every one of us, all of us in the congregation tonight, it was ordered us that we had to go to England. I'm just bear with me. We're going to England. Every single one of us is going to England. We've got to be there, and we've got to work for a year over there in England. Now, while we're over there, anything that we purchase over there in England, we cannot bring back with us to America. But what we can do is we can take the money we make over there and ship it to our bank in America. Anything you purchase, you can't bring back. Now, whether you understand it or not, that's the way heaven is. You can't take anything with you. Nothing. I can't take anything I've purchased to heaven with me. But if I lay up some treasures, it'll be there when I get there. You understand? And if we don't lay up treasures, there's not going to be anything up there. And you and I is not going to take anything with us. Understand? So I want to ask you, how much would you purchase if you was in England? You know what you would do? You would purchase the necessities of life. The necessities of life is what you would purchase, the things you had to have to live. And you'd ship everything else back to America. Now that's what God's trying to get his children to do. Live simply. Live a simple life. Donna has a little sign in our kitchen there that says, simplify. Throw everything out. I'm not asking you to throw everything out, but I am saying to you, be careful what you purchase, because you're not taking it with you. What are you spending all that extra money on that's unnecessary, that you do not have to have? Now, I'm just laying out some principles. You'll do with it as you see fit, but you ought to listen, because there's principles in God's word about laying up treasures in heaven. See, when we come back to America, it would be there because we shipped it back. That's what God is saying to us. God, Jesus says, you lay up treasures up in heaven. Lay not up for yourselves treasures up on earth. Now, is that what he says? He said, don't do it. Now, that's a command of God. That's a command of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Don't lay treasures up on this earth, but lay up treasures in heaven. Thank God we have a home waiting on us. I'm so thankful that God has prepared a place for us and we have a wonderful place. A man by the name of Vanderbilt years and years ago made a statement. He was a millionaire. He said he had at that time, that's been years way back there. Some of you will remember the name. He said he had $200 million and he said it's enough. The care of $200 million is enough to kill anybody. No, that's what he said. A man by the name of Astor said, I have all kinds of money, but I'm the most miserable man alive. The old Rockefeller said, I've made millions, but it has absolutely brought me no happiness. Henry Ford said, I was happier when I was a mechanic. Yeah, I was happier when I was a mechanic. I want to take you to another portion of Scripture. We're going to close very soon. But over in Ecclesiastes, I want you to listen to this. Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, please. Let me read verse number 4. Pastor, I'm going just a little longer than I normally will because the master clubs are up here. We'll be careful on Wednesday night, but chapter 2, verse 4, listen to what he said. I made me great works. That's in chapter 2, verse 4, Ecclesiastes. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold in the particular treasure of kings and of the providences. I got me men singers and women singers, and the delight of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sort. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Whatsoever mine eyes desired, listen to this, I kept not from them. Whew. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all of my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Solomon said, I had everything that my eyes wanted. It, I got it. And he did. He said, but I come to the end of life, come down to the end of it, and I looked it all over, and he said, it's all vexation. It's all worthless. It's no good. You know why? He didn't turn any of it into heavenly treasures. He done it for himself. He enjoyed life. And I'm afraid, in all seriousness, that's where many Christians are tonight. Now, I can't speak for you. Many Christians, they want all of these things. They will not let anything be withheld from them that their eyes see that they want. But I'll guarantee you something. That is not treasures. You may have it all, but that's not treasures. Are you listening to this, preacher?
Amen.
You see, I want above all. I know your pastor wants that. I want you to live a life that'll be wonderful at the end of life, where God can say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And we need to lay up treasures in heaven. One more verse of scripture, I will close. 1 Timothy, 6th chapter. And I'm going to read verse 17. I want you to listen to verse 17. I know there's other portion of scripture there that we could read concerning the love of money. But I want to read verse 17. Here's what he says. I charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. See, there's a danger when we're rich. Now listen to me. You say, well, I'm not rich. I probably beg to differ with you. You and I have more. I think it was Pastor Jerry, someone said if we'd go to another country and visit it, we'd come back and kiss the ground of America. We have more than what people had that was really rich in years before us and in other countries. But he says, I'm charging you that are rich in this world, and he said that you not trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. You see, there's a danger when we have things to not trust God. Now, we say we do. Oh, I'm trusting in God, but I've still got that big bank account that I fall back on in case God fails. And he says, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. You know what? I think God does want us to enjoy the things he gives us. I just think he happened to believe that he wants to direct what he gives us. And not us.
Amen.
But he wants us to enjoy life. I have no problem with that. But I still say, and think with me, live simple. Live simple. That's very important. Live a simple life. We do not need all of these riches and all of these things and stuff that we think we need. Then he says, what did he charge them to do? That they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The word there, eternal life, you don't lay hold of those things. The word eternal life there speaks of real life. That's the way to live life, is by distributing, by giving at his direction, and that's what he's talking about. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate, which means to give at the very direction of God. Be ready to do that.
Amen.
He said that's how to really live. Amen. Now be careful as you consider what we've said tonight, because we have a tendency to be real easy on ourselves. We have a tendency to say, well, I know, but I give here and I do this and I do that, and I think God's well pleased with that. Have you been listening to him? Do we have some stuff maybe that we really shouldn't have? That we ought to turn into heavenly riches? Not downing you having stuff. I'm saying, I think you better keep life, and I better keep life simple.
Amen.
And in balance.
Amen.
Amen? Will you hear me? Will you take what I've said tonight and just consider? and think about it and take it home with you and talk to the Lord about it and see if you have been laying up treasures in heaven. If not, be willing to. And if not as many as you should, be willing to increase it, because you may not have much more time to lay them up. And I may not either. You understand what I'm saying? Please consider what we've said tonight. Pastor, thank you.
Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you've taught us tonight. And Lord, help us, even in a very materialistic world, to have the spiritual discernment, Lord, to separate in our minds and to distinguish from the Scriptures the difference between earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. And Lord, thank you for this wonderful, Scripture-filled, Lord, message that we heard tonight. And I pray, Lord, that even here at the very beginning of our treasure series, Lord, we would maybe take that very first step that Pastor Ross encouraged us to do. Maybe we just need to take that first step of coming to an old-fashioned altar and acknowledging to a very generous God that we understand that everything that we have is in essence His. And Lord, that we would be willing then to distribute it and to do with it exactly as He would lead us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.